This is an interview with Governor Victor Attia at his office in downtown Portland, Oregon. The date is August 16th, 1993. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen, and this is tape 52, side one. You were just telling me about some of the things that have transpired in the last couple weeks since I've seen you, and you started mentioning something about a reunion of your staff.
Yeah, when I left office, while I was governor, I kept saying to myself, you know, I'm really lucky. I've got some very fine people with me. And now I'm talking about the governor's office.
Right.
And, I was thinking, you know, here, we didn't know each other, and I became governor, and then we gathered this team together, and they were all neat people, and then when I left office, we all, you know, scattered. So we decided we were going to have a reunion. Well, we've had a reunion every year since I left office, with the exception of last year. We just skipped last year. But after about three of those, I thought, gee whiz, had an awful lot of good directors of state government. I'd like to see them again, so we included them.
Hmm.
So anyway, yesterday, Sunday, was the reunion. It was really neat. I had, everybody couldn't make it, and you can't expect that, but, we probably had about 50 people there. A lot of staff members, directors of state government. It was just a real neat deal.
Hmm.
Hamburgers and potato chips and that sort of thing, and pop and beer, ice cream. And
so who was there? Was Jerry Thompson and Pat Amadeo?
Jerry Thompson's house.
Oh.
In the backyard. She put up a tent. It turned out we didn't need a tent for rain, but we kept getting to keep the sun off. What a summer we've had. But, Jerry Thompson was there, Pat Amadeo, who was, I told you my organization was my chief of staff with two main assistants. Pat was one of them, and Bob Oliver was the other, and he was there. We had some of the secretaries in the back office, and our director of human resource, Leo Hextrom, was there, the adjutant general, Dick Miller, was there. Gosh, I'm trying to remember, it was kind of a scattering of old Tom Toombs of Corrections, he was there, among others. It was wonderful, and to kind of see the folks again, and what's happening in our lives. And it was very casual,
mm-hmm.
Sitting around and we'll chat from here to there. It was a lot of fun.
Mm.
I snuck in the house every once in a while to watch the PGA tournament. Lawrence came in, I was in the house there, and she said, hey, she said, look, Esther outside. I said, I've said hello to all of them. I said, I just been here 5 minutes, leave me alone. She was worried about me, we made sure that I was going to talk to everybody. But it was really nice to do it, because they're really wonderful people who have done a fine job, did a super job, really. All. So that's done. So it's grand to think about it. It was a lot of loyalty. People did enjoy what they were doing. They did a really good job. We worked them hard. But they had a great sense of satisfaction out of it,
mm-hmm.
Being part of the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great sense of appreciation for the good work they did.
And this is something you'll be doing every year then?
Yeah. It's hard to tell, I've sort of how much along. I think they like it. I really do. You worry, are they coming just because I invited them? You think about things like that.
Uh-huh.
But no, I think that they enjoy it, appreciate it, and have a good time.
Well, you were mentioning something else off tape just before we started, and I wanted to follow up on that. In our last session, we talked about some of your last trips to Taiwan and Japan and Korea and Syria, and then you just mentioned a few minutes ago about the group of people getting together for Waseda University, And I don't know if you've talked anything about that, but that's quite a positive development for Oregon, isn't it?
That's actually kind of cranked up after I left office.
Uh-huh.
But Wausau, the university is a leading private college in Japan. These are the things that young kids, you study hard in grade school, and I guess they call it high school, but the whole point was to get into a prestigious university. Mm-hmm. That's what you're working for, because that carries great currency in Japan. Wausau is one of those. It's one of the top, and in this case, private universities. Well, they were looking around for an offshore campus, offshore U.S. They're looking at Germany. I think one other place, I'm not sure. But then they finally concluded, well, it was going to be U.S., at least the first one would be U.S. And then there was kind of competition to see if they would, which state would encourage them to come. And finally got down to Oregon and California.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon did a much better job, and now it's down to Oregon. Now, they have not yet announced for their campus. This is like watching grass grow. It's a slow process, slower than a normal Japanese process, because you've got the fact, it's a typical higher education thing, and you've got the faculty that's going to agree with it. You know, it's one of those things. But I'm positive it will happen, and I'm positive that one day, not too distant future, they will establish a campus in Oregon, probably in the metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
We've run for 2 years now, a pilot program. They've actually had Japanese and American students, they've had Japanese and American professors, and they've had a summer program.
Mm-hmm.
And in both cases was at Lewis and Clark College.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give them a feel of what it's all about, how it's going to work. So we are in line for it, and Wausau will do it, but it hasn't yet happened.
Will that mean a big boon for the possibility of Japanese companies locating here?
I would think so. They have to decide what they want to do. There's some talk has been, I think they've been thinking about some undergraduate, some graduate, that's what they're with their campus. It would be our hope that they would, because there is a high school in Wausau, that they would establish high school or a secondary school. That would be even more helpful, because then as they do, the Japanese come, they stay here for a while, then they go back home. I know one case, one of the managers of a Japanese company, he was separated from his family for a long period of time because as children were growing, they were going to grade school. He wanted to make sure that they kept pace and they could go into a good school.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were in Japan and he was here. And that's a tough duty, to do that. So it's our hope, and I think Wausau knows it, that at some point in time they would have secondary education, and that would be more helpful.
Right now, they're not looking at secondary education?
That apparently is not their, again, they haven't made any final decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't seem to be the way they're going at the time, for the present moment.
They're looking for more of a college level.
Yeah, and it gets down to, what's in their best interest and what's in our best interest. We've been pretty honest with them. We'd like to have that. That would be in our best interest. But that doesn't seem to be the way they're going at the present time. But again, no final decisions have been made as to content and what they're going to do and even where they'll do it.
Mm-hmm. There was some concern that the Japanese locating here wouldn't be able to educate their family to the standards that they needed for them to continue over
so
there.
That would be very helpful if that's the case. That's why Wausau, it would be two things. First of all, it's a prestigious one. And it would be known in Japan that it happens to be in Oregon. That's another good tie.
Mm-hmm.
And then in relationship to those Japanese that come here, if there's some value they could get out of a Japanese university, that would be helpful. So altogether, it's a good stroke. There, we created a committee. Actually, this began with Neil Goldschmidt. But I have to admit, I got a little testy about the whole thing because I was on the committee. He's the one that kind of cranked it up. But I'm the only one going to meetings. When I say that only, I mean, he wasn't at any meetings. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. This is his baby, you know, and I'm working hard at doing it. And delegations come, and I'd go to the Japanese gardens, and he's not anywhere. Oh, wait a minute. So finally, I was on the board. He was on every member of the board. I will wait. So I finally said to him, look, I just shouldn't be honorary member of this board. I didn't say why. I said it. Got a little testy about the whole thing. It's one of these things, he cracks it up, and then you go do it.
Uh-huh.
And I said, heck with it. But we did. We had a good group of people, leaders and citizens. Mm-hmm. I think that's helpful. That made them continue to feel that they belong.
Would these schools only be for Japanese students?
Probably mostly for Japanese, but certainly I think they would be open. That's why they're mixing them right now in their pilot programs.
So Americans could attend as well?
Uh-huh.
Well, going on to these other sort of disparate areas of concerns and issues that didn't necessarily come out of the legislature, but that you had to deal with as governor. There was a criticism by the Oregonian that you and also previous governors did not pursue the long-range planning efforts that have been launched by McCall. And to some extent, Straub, and under and they said that Oregon, under your administration, was only one of five states in the nation that employs no one person or agency to make long-range plans for state government as a whole. States become progressive and remain so when their chief political leaders strive to be visionary. I imagine that's kind of difficult for you to. Here.
As we talked about it before, you know, what's visionary?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they mean by visionary. I recall earlier saying that we diversified the economy. That's solid, that's ongoing, that's permanent, that's with us. If they want us to shoot rockets in the air, and that being visionary, well, I agree that was not visionary.
Said making long-range plans for state government as a whole, but were you familiar with this criticism at the time?
Well, actually, I didn't take, you know, if I were a governor that was sensitive to what the media said, I'd remember those things. Tom McCall would have remembered them. Mm-hmm. Maybe Bob Strong. But I don't. I knew what my course was. I knew what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Oregonian could say something. The Registered Guard could say something. The Willamette Week could say something. The Statesman Journal could say something. Any of the television stations could say something. That's their opinion.
Yeah.
See, you've got them coming in from all directions. The point is that you can get diverted from what you want to do if you kept reading the newspaper or listening to television news or radio news. The point is that I knew where we wanted to go and what's important for the state of Oregon. What did they mean? I have no idea. They certainly liked the whole idea of scooping up the Willamette River and strainer and cleaning it up, land use planning. I suppose that's visionary. But you know, let's take land use planning, which of course is, that's long range and that's the mm-hmm. future. But isn't diversifying the economy the future as well? Isn't the regional power bill, Columbia River Gorge, I have to think of a few other things. No know, they fit in that same category. I guess basically what it comes down to, that it was all done without a flare. It wasn't done, this all happened. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do. I didn't do the cosmetic things of task force and blue ribbons, this and all the rest of that. We just went ahead and did it. Mm-hmm. So you didn't do it with flair. Mm-hmm. You did it. So maybe the visionary means whatever you do, you've got to do it with red, white, blue ribbons and spangles and fireworks. Mm-hmm. To me, I didn't care. All the cosmetic stuff was of no interest to me. All I was interested is it going to happen?
What about this aspect of having a person or an agency in charge of long-term planning, state planning?
That's just wasteful. It costs you money. Who? I mean, what person? What office? What are they going to do? Are they going to come up with their vision of Oregon's future? I think there was a good study group of citizens in the Portland area that came up with a long-range plan, but I don't know if anybody's following that. Mm-hmm. But if that's better, that's at least a more diverse group of people, which you're getting for nothing.
Is that the future focus that you're referring to?
I guess so. It was one that was going on in Portland. Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a central city plan that was developed, and then more recently there's been the future focus.
That's right. There's one at the state level, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happened to it. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, you know, when these things are done, mm-hmm. whoever was the one that initiated it thought it was a good idea, but then it's put on the shelf somewhere. I remember the focus. You had to have certain focus things and how many jobs you're going to have and how many this you're going to have, you know, a whole lot of things. And then you could measure whether you're matching up. Not a bad idea. But I don't know if you can do things any better. Mm-hmm. All you really know you need is someone that does understand the state, understand what was good for the state, at least from that person's viewpoint, and go ahead and do it.
I would presume that all of your agencies had plans and planning aspects to their programs and long-range plans of some sort by agency?
Some more than others. Uh-huh. Obviously, the Department of Transportation does. They have five-year plans that are updated almost every year, and these are done by cities and counties around the state, and the Department of Transportation makes, or the commission makes, a mm-hmm. decision, well, this year we'll do that. It was kind of interesting what affects all our abilities and long-range plans when you ask the question. Now, what's a long-range plan for LCDC? Well, I don't know if you really have a long-range plan for LCDC. A long-range plan is to make sure that we continue orderly and that we don't weaken mm-hmm. The plans that we have. What else could you have beside that? I don't know for a long-range plan. What would you do for a long-range plan? Well, obviously, it's ongoing. The whole thing is keep the air clear and the water clear. The DEQ could still do a better job in terms of solid waste. We talked about that some time ago. Mm-hmm. The state still hasn't done a good job in that area. Where do you go beyond that? What's a long-range plan for mental health, or health, for welfare? You know, what do you mean long-range plan for what? You know, what is a long-range plan? I don't mean to demean it. It's not a bad idea. But I basically think that there are some things that are important. Certainly our clean air and water was important, our land use was important, and the things that I mentioned I think were important. I'll still come down to it. We did things, and if we'd done them with a flare, maybe they would have been perfectly happy. Mm-hmm. The fact that we did them but didn't do it with a lot of hoorah, maybe that's why they weren't happy. An indictment, I suppose, is the fact that they didn't really understand what really happened, mm-hmm. which to me leads to some pretty sloppy operations.
Well, you had mentioned mass transit, and the newspaper did report that you're in January 1986, you wanted a fresh approach toward mass transit in the Tri-County area, so you cleaned house at TriMet and appointed a new 7-member board for a regional transit agency, for the regional transit agency, even though some of the members you had asked you to be reappointed. What was developing there, and what was your idea in doing that?
A lot of them have been there a long time. And oftentimes, when you've been there a while, you know the course that you're on. You're comfortable with that course. It's good to get fresh thinking. The people I appointed were really very good people. The only one that really got any real attention was Ron Tonkin. And that was because he was an automobile dealer.
Right.
And yet even then, I think he was accepted. He's a bright man. I think he made a major contribution, only recently went off. And I just really wanted to kind of shake it up a little bit and get some really fresh thinking. Not that the others had not done a good job, they had, but it really is kind of good to get fresh. I suppose it even goes back to, I was personally responsible, because I noticed as a legislator, there were some boards and commissions that were almost permanent. There was no cutoff period. Mm-hmm. You're appointed and you could just serve forever. I think a major one of those was Board of Higher Education, but there were others. So the whole point was that they would all uniformly serve for 4 years. None could serve more than 8. And the whole point was that just to continually get fresh people in. And that's good. Now this goes back to the time I was a legislator. Just because I thought that turnover to some degree is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the case. I believe it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily good that it was 8 years for the governor after what I've seen the last almost 8 years. That's my editorial comment. But nonetheless, I think it's still good. It's a good idea. The concept's good. It's good for a democracy. I think it's good. I have to tell you, I wasn't quite this philosophical that I'm getting into now, except that I just wanted fresh ideas, a fresh approach. And these were all good people that accepted appointments. Very good people. No one ever suggested that these appointments were not good appointments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Regarding your decision to send Oregon National Guard to Honduras. And there was some protest because of the United States' involvement with the anti-Sandinista efforts in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
So what were some of the issues then for you that you had to address?
Again, it gets back to keep saying you put pressure on yourself. There was no pressure on me at all. There was no question about what I was going to do. And there was a reason for it. And I felt a legitimate reason. The Army Guard has had from time to time different assignments. While I was in the legislature, their assignment was in the event of something occurring. Their assignment was to go up to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
So they went up there and trained in Alaska. And the whole point was that if they had to go, then at least they have some familiarity with it. They are prepared for it, maybe in clothing or whatever. So it was going to be the best thing for us to do is to send these guardsmen up there for training. Well, our assignment had changed. And our assignment then was, I don't think it was South America, but anyways, it was in that atmosphere it was in that kind of terrain, that kind of climate conditions. And the question was, okay, they were going to go down there to train. That was no different than them going up to Alaska to train. And I said to whoever questioned me was, that is their mission. Mm-hmm. And if that's their mission, we would probably save lives if they were able to train in that kind of conditions and knew what it was like and knew what they had to do. Now, the others approach it from an entirely political sense. Sandinistas have got a problem down there, you're shooting up and we're contributing to it. That's their problem, it wasn't my problem. I'm the Commander-in-Chief of the National Guard. And we talk about training these guardsmen. That's what we're about. And try to save their lives or make at least let them know what they're getting into. And the best thing in the world to do is to send them where they were going to possibly have to be someday. So they went. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any qualms about it. I never had any quivers about it. I never had any concern about it. I'm saying that's best for the men and women of the Army Guard of Oregon to go. You can do your political thing all you want. We weren't going to get involved in any fighting. Mm-hmm. We weren't going to get involved in any support work for what was ever going on over there.
Wasn't there some question that some of the training was very close to the Nicaraguan border and might be provocative in some way?
There's a lot of things. People are making mm-hmm. excuses and reasons why, for political reasons, we ought not to do that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't dealing with politics. I was dealing with the thing that as Commander-in-Chief, which I took very seriously, incidentally, as Commander-in-Chief, I thought it was the best thing for the Guard. Uh-huh. And as I say, what was the difference? They went to Alaska to train because that was their mission at that time. To me, there was no difference. Not at all.
During that time, the National Guard then had, or the State Guard had, I guess it's called the Oregon National Guard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Had an invitation by the Sandinista government to visit Nicaragua. Was that accepted?
I'm going to say I don't think so, but I don't remember that specifically. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was talking to the Adjutant General during the, I remember specifically about this trip down south. Mm-hmm. But I don't recall the one that you just mentioned about the invitation to come visit. Mm-hmm. Come visit, but don't stay.
I guess that would be particularly relevant for Nicaragua. They didn't actually say that, though, did they? Well, then going on, and I don't know if we talked about this before or not. I think we talked a little bit about it, about your conflicting views with Secretary of State Barbara Roberts on the performance audits by her office. We did talk about that, didn't we?
We did. Just to restate it quickly, I felt the performance of state government was the job of the governor. Mm-hmm. And if it was a bad performance of state government, then the governor is the one to be blamed. And if it was good, the governor should get credit. It was not the job of the Secretary of State's office. And so the idea of performance audit was something that I vigorously opposed. Again, I remember how often I've talked about my very high regard for the three branches of government, obviously, but now we're talking legislative, executive, and what was the role of executive and what was the important thing to be done. And the fact that performance is subjective. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't do that job right. Let's say the Secretary of State says you didn't. Well, that's their opinion. You know, they don't have all of the facts, actually, that the governor has in making decisions.
But should they enter at all into whether something was done economically or not?
That's the fiscal audit. That's the audit in terms of dollars.
But don't those two areas coincide at some point?
They coincide, no. Well,
Whether...
I quickly say no. The point is that the Secretary of State's office, their job was to audit.
Mm-hmm.
Audit means, did you spend the money right? Now, that is not subjective. That is something that, you know, it's an accountant's thing.
What about spending the money efficiently?
Now, that's the subjective.